The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show.
It's Monday Gun Day with the Gun Guy.
Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.
Guy Rilford.
Stop calling your arms guns.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a very special guest on the hotline.
He is a 2A instructor, attorney. He's the host of the Gun Guy Show. He pretty much is the most badass American you're ever going to find.
Hell
he
yeah.
is Guy Rilford. Guy, how are you?
Man, I'm great, guys. And thanks, as always, to our sponsor for Monday Gun Day. That's Premier Arms in Brownsburg, with the largest selection of new, used, and historic firearms in the Midwest, and PA Jewelers, located right in the store. Check them out at 3754 South Green Street in Brownsburg or premierarms.com.
How you feeling, Guy? Because I know you were on the sick list this weekend. There was no Gun Guy Show because you were a little bit under the weather. How you feeling?
I'll be all right. I got a little medical thing going on here, but we're getting it worked out, and I'm sure I'll be kicking ass as well as ever here soon.
Love to hear it.
Right on.
One thing you and I were texting about this past weekend, it's interesting to note that ever since you did some digging into the NRA and where they stand with certain Indiana political candidates, we're not seeing Jefferson Shreve's NRA A-plus rating on his ads anymore, are we?
Well, no, we're not. And it's because he was getting his butt whipped by his opponents in the primary, because the NRA came out and reissued their ratings of political candidates. And lo and behold, Jefferson got a very well-deserved F, as in Foxtrot. And he was getting it shoved down his throat, as he should. And what was going on, just for people who don't know the background, a while ago when he was running for state senate, this is even before he ran for mayor in Indianapolis, he was running for state senate, he just filled out an NRA questionnaire. And he answered all those questions as NRA would like him to on things like an assault weapon ban and constitutional carry and right across the board. And based on his answers to those questions, he got what's called an AQ rating. The Q just means based on your questionnaire, because he didn't have any kind of a voting record. So after that, he runs for mayor, and in a mayor's race, Hodges' people were beating up on him because he had an A rating with the NRA. Then he gets an F rating because, of course, as we've discussed quite a bit, he came out and proposed all the same gun control proposals that Joe Hogsett did, like an assault weapon ban, roll back constitutional carry, raise the age to buy a firearm. And because he was right in there then with all the Democrats on gun control, he gets an F rating. But lo and behold, he runs for Congress in the 6th District, and he's running ads playing back essentially the attacks that Hogsett's people when he still had an A rating. And it just kind of conveniently ignoring the fact that he completely flip-flopped on all the issues. So, yeah, he's getting whipped around pretty good, as he absolutely should, because in my mind, as we've discussed, it's an integrity issue.
Right. Is it normal for somebody to go from an A to an F? Like, it feels like there would be a couple steps along the way there.
Well, it's been done before, and get this, there's a common denominator, because Richard Lugar did well with the NRA for years and years and years, and people remember him as a beloved Indiana senator, but then he had a campaign manager, a guy named Mark Lubbers, who thought it would be a great idea for Senator Lugar, as a 30-year incumbent, to support an assault weapon ban. He then comes out with an F rating from NRA. He loses in the primary to Richard Murdoch, which lo and behold ended up giving us Joe Donnelly as a U.S. senator. So here's the common denominator. Mark Lubbers was the chief advisor to Jefferson Shreve when he ran for mayor. So you can't ignore the commonality there.
Sounds like they're just all chasing their tails at this point.
Right.
I mean, it's just like this vicious circle, this never ending vicious circle. Well, I'm pro 2A. He's pro 2A. I want gun control.
Right.
Now I've got an F from the NRA.
Yeah, and Guy, the thing is, it's not the only race where we're seeing a lot of chatter about where people stand in terms of the Second Amendment. Let's go to the race between Roderick Bray and Jay Hart. Their campaign, both, you know, talking about who's really the gun supporter here. How big of an issue is where somebody stands on 2A going to be when it comes to some of these House races or state House races?
I think it's huge, and this is interesting in terms of that race, because you know, I beat up on President Pro Tem Rod Bray. He's President Pro Tem of the Senate, Senator Rod Bray. I beat up on Senator Bray pretty good a couple of years ago, 3 years ago to be exact, when he really killed constitutional carry in the Senate after it flew through the House. And I was very harsh in my criticism. But lo and behold, here in 2022, Senator Bray really saved constitutional carry for us. It had died in committee thanks to a Rhino senator named Senator Liz Brown from Fort Wayne. And we were essentially done on constitutional carry that year in Indiana. And Senator Bray stepped up and really resurrected it and forced it through committee, and then we got it through the Rules Committee thanks to his leadership, and we ended up getting it passed. So he definitely changed his position on constitutional carry. So it's interesting because you know, remember that and remember the criticism of him and don't necessarily know that he was a hero here more recently. So I could see people, even people like me, being pretty split in that race because Senator Bray has had some dubious decision making in his past, but really turned it around and was our hero in 2022. One of them, anyway.
Monday Gun Day with Guy Relford here on the Hammer and Nigel Show. So what's going to happen with Hunter Biden? It feels like this is kind of a forgotten type of deal with all the legal stuff surrounding Donald Trump right now. But will the defense of Hunter Biden provide a pathway to drug users in America having their Second Amendment rights restored, Guy?
Yeah, this is just absolutely fascinating, and I'm really glad you asked me about this because it's fun to talk about. And that is that the statute that Hunter's being prosecuted under says that if you lie on the form when you're buying a gun, like for instance, if you say, no, I'm not a felon, or in his case, no, I'm not a user of or addicted to any illegal drugs, then you could just committed a federal felony, and that's worth 10 years in prison. In addition, if you are in possession of a gun as a prohibited possessor, and one of the classes of people prohibited from possessing guns are people who are users of or addicted to any illegal drug, then you're looking, you know, at another significant jail term, up to 10 years. And so those two statutes, in terms of lying on the form and possession by a prohibited possessor, are what he's being prosecuted for. And get this, under the Bruin decision from the Supreme Court that you guys and I have talked about multiple times, if there's not a history of regulation, a history and tradition of regulation of firearms going all the way back to the founding and the ratification of the Second Amendment, going to the time the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, which was what made the Bill of Rights applicable to the states. If you can't find analogs, if you can't find comparative regulation in that time frame of going back, you know, centuries in this country, constitutional statute. So if Hunter's lawyers really play out all the options available to them, they're going to raise the constitutionality of this statute as a defense. And lo and behold, the president's son could establish theoretically a precedent that would open up Second Amendment rights to, I don't know, I mean, how many people are a user of or addicted to illegal drugs in this country who don't have felony convictions or aren't otherwise a prohibited possessor? That's got to be in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And it's fascinating to me to think that of all people, this could not advocate for any more gun control if he tried. I mean, he's advocated for every form of gun control known to man, and his son may actually open up gun ownership to a whole lot of people that,
wow.
You know, even as a two-way guy, I'm looking at that going, well, that's interesting. You know, we got to have drug addicts who may be able to possess firearms.
Guy, if somebody wants to continue this conversation or if they want to hire you or whatever the case may be, how can they find you?
Best way really is through Twitter, man, at Guy Relford on Twitter.
Guy, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, man.
Thanks, guys.